الجيد وفاكول ده في عند السيد كان سبب بطر نوفمبر وقالوك نبقى around those times of course that was informed by the stakeholders that was meeting and saw the number of cases therefore the number of cases that was taken tentatively we're looking at that with the engagement on that aspect. So that before the parliament rises this might have to support your conceptual sentence. It's not a campaign issue. Having said that, let me then allow the MEC to take a truth of this issue. It's a second intervention of this nature under Section 109. That is that one was in a trial. In New Kenya. Okay. In New Kenya. There's an MEC that I know of. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thanks to you and to the members of the National Council of Provinces. Let me say that in my delegation here, I'm accompanied by a senior general manager, Mr. Louis Lionel Pinak, who is also responsible for local government and municipalities in Western Natal, the function of municipalities in the province. To begin with, Chairperson, we would want just to actually take you through a process that in the file and documentation that we have just circulated to you, we have given you a document with an index wherein there is annex A, which is a notification letter to the NCOP in terms of the provision of the Constitution of 1939. Annex B is a notification letter to the minister, which also fulfills the provision of Section 109. Annex C1 is a suspension letter to Mayor Councillor Kosa, which is a process that we have to do both in terms of our laws of natural justice, but also in terms of the fact that we actually suspend the mayor. Annex C2 is a suspension letter to the minister, Mr. Bubeva. And a C3 is a suspension letter to official Mr. G. Zungu. And a G is a letter of appointment of an acting municipal manager, who as a municipal manager is facing charges of discipline, Mr. Kamle Kubane. And a E is a letter of designation in terms of interdictive subsection 3 of the Local Government Infrastructure Act of 1998, where I was designated as Mr. Lionel Pinard to go and conduct an election because the mayor there that was suspended was also a speaker, and for that reason we actually had to have the election of an interim mayor as a speaker as well. So I had to do that designation in terms of Section 36 of Section 3 of the Local Government Infrastructure Act. And as the minister of the Special Emergency Council meeting held on the 3rd of September 2007, wherein an acting mayor was then elected to also serve as an acting speaker of council until the Sisna hearing and the Sisna proceedings are concluded against the mayor, Councillor Kosa. Therefore, if I could have some procedure for Chairperson, let me simply say that our executive council has in fact intervened in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution in the Ukraine municipality known as the Madlange municipality. And therefore, in our intervention, we are of course guided by Section 106, Subsection 1B of the Infrastructure System Act, also Section 139.1B of the Constitution. The brief background of the matter, Chairperson, is that, as it can be seen, the reason for our intervention started way back during September 2006, when the Provincial Department of Local Government and Educational Affairs received various reports of maladministration, fraud, corruption, and other serious malpractices in the municipality. And as a result of these reports, the then acting MEC, Dr. Ben Allen Jesus, resolved to investigate the reports and complaints received by the department and appointed a team of a firm of consultants who also have got capacity in the forensic investigations to conduct and investigate the allegations. The investigation was to ascertain the factual position around the allegations made in respect of irregularities in the recruitment process, and in particular, in the appointment of the manager of corporate services, irregularities in the allocation of size of Kute Play, irregularities in the allocation of housing within Kute Warp, low-cost housing development, irregularities in relation to the Center on Poverty Alleviation Funds and local economic development projects, possible irregularities in the appointment and payment of Kute's value management solutions, irregularities in the management of game park, repairs to laptops, submission of suspicious invoices in order to collect money from the suppliers, utilization of municipal staff during overtime to carry out private duties, overpayments on certain fees, claims to cancel any causa for 2005, 2006, 2006, 2007 financial year, and I may add also double claims by the third councillor, claiming both from his municipality, which is the Utrecht, but also claiming from the Utrecht municipality for the same activities, in some instances making claims on trips that were never undertaken by the first councillor. To investigate the creation and establishment of business plan, council resolution, and very for money for the food work policy project. To investigate the creation, establishment, and business plan, council resolution, and value for money of aid garden policy project. Also to investigate the grant to be passed by the Rekhadag coal mine. To investigate the grant to the municipality by the Ministry for Local Government and Traditional Affairs, which was for poverty alleviation programs, and any consequential matters that would actually surface during the investigation process. I have then received the report that certain councillors, in the midst of this, when then anything he had initiated this because I was away in international trips, that the third councillors were actually frustrating the investigation. And accordingly, I then approached the council personally in a letter where I requested them to be able to allow the councillors to take what I would term a cautionary suspension, because at that time, we were still proceeding with investigation. And therefore, we needed to actually have them to remove themselves so that they do not in any way hinder or obstruct the process of investigation. But the third council and councillors refused flatly to do so. And arising out of that, I then had no choice but to approach the High Court and to obtain a declaratory order, which then we did apply to the High Court to confirm our action to suspend councillors, namely Councillor Emmy Koza and B. Mabaso, pending the finalization of the investigation. The application was then granted by Mr. Justice Moleko, it's not Moleko, Moleko, sorry about the spelling, and the councillors, however, sought leave to appeal against Judge Moleko's decision. And that application is still pending. And I must say that our lawyers have been doing everything to try and actually get the cooperation of the lawyers of the other side to try and have the matter set down before the same judge, for the judge to hear whether he may grant the leave for appeal. The matter, unfortunately, has been delayed because of the unavailability of the date, particularly from the lawyer side, so they can set the matter down. But our lawyers are doing everything to ensure that this matter is set down, so that the leave for appeal can be argued before Justice Moleko. On the 14th of May 2007, because when we suspended them, it was before, I think it was in October, I can't remember the actual date, October or November last year, then the investigation continued. And in May, we then received on the 14th of May the final report of the investigators, and they reported on the outcome of the investigation, and out of their report, the following recommendations were specifically made. The first one was that the disciplinary action should be taken against certain counselors, including Councillor Corrine Mabaso, and that the municipal manager also should ensure that he faces discipline for failing to comply with the municipality's recruitment, selection, and appointment policy. Secondly, that the disciplinary action should also be taken against the municipal manager and Councillor Corrine for irregularities in the allocation of sites. Thirdly, that the disciplinary action should be taken against Mr. Zumu and Njali. Njali is the former mayor of the same municipality for unauthorized allocations in the Khuda Wharf low-cost housing development. Fourth, that the disciplinary action should be taken against Mr. Zumu and Dovu for irregularities in the expenditure of poverty alleviation funds and local economic development projects, and that the municipal manager and other officials be charged with financial misconduct. Fifth, that the municipal manager and the chief financial officer should be held liable for unauthorized expenditure and be charged with financial misconduct relating to the employment of consultants. Sixth, that a criminal case of fraud and theft should be registered against Mr. R. Sanat. That charges and the charges of misconduct should be brought against a council employee with regard to irregularities relating to the council game tax. And seven, that the disciplinary action and criminal charges should be brought against Councillor Corza for wrongful claims for SMT, and that charges of misconduct be brought against the municipal manager as a result of thereof. And I want to simply say, therefore, Chairperson, that as can be seen from the above report, it seriously implicates two main people, mainly the mayor, Councillor Corza, who also acts as speaker, as well as the municipal managers and four other senior employees, including the municipal manager, namely the chief financial officer, Mr. Zungu, as well as the speaker and the other employee that has been mentioned here by the name of Dobby. Now, in accordance with our normal practice, we then refer the report to the Utrecht municipality after we received it, for the council and for the Utrecht Municipal Council's own consideration. And then, as it is a standard procedure, we requested the council to actually favor us with their response within 21 days on the action that the council intended to take as a result thereof. In other words, Chairperson, we gave the municipality 21 days to be able to come back to us and simply say, we have this report, the full report, and its recommendation. What sort of action are we recommending to take as a remedial action to deal with this issue, which is a final procedure? We don't do it to this one, but to all other municipalities. Primarily because they are still of government, so we should actually be able to give them the benefit that they can actually be able to correct certain things. Now, despite of all of this, that data of 21 days, not only did 21 days expire, but 30 days did expire, 60 days did expire, and then 90 days expired. It was only then that we then actually took an initiative decision and approached the Executive Council of KwaZulu-Natal for us to be able to simply say to the Executive Council, the matter has reached this stage and we think we must then be able to deal with it. And I think it is our contention here that we must say this here at the NCOP, that the council is under a separate obligation arising from various pieces of legislation to act if there is unlawful or irregular activity taking place within the council municipality. In this instance, we are no longer presenting before council mere allegations. We are presenting before council a report of investigators, independent investigators, who have gone through the report, and we're expecting them to then consider it and to act and to take action on the basis of that. And we actually argue that they did not comply with this. And arising out of that, therefore, we had no choice for us to be able to take and to invoke the provisions then of the applicable processes of legislation. Namely, that if the municipal council fails to discharge its available obligations and to involve the required disciplinary procedures conducted by the MSMA and Systems Act and the Code of Conduct for Councillors, Then the municipal council and municipal employee failed to discharge their obligation to institute personal posting against the councillors and against municipal employees named in the report to us was completely unacceptable. Now, there were also inordinate delay in taking action with absolutely no reason that was sufficient that we could hear. They did not make any representation that I was able to see justifying why they couldn't act. The fact that the mayor is also alleged to have committed serious infractions in the report to me was a very clear indication that where the problem lay was the fact that the mayor, who also was speaker, had a dual role. He was supposed to have tabled the report before council. He was supposed to have been actually the one that would have allowed council. We now have a precedent case where the High Court has made a ruling that when a councillor is indeed directly affected by a matter, this was a matter between Astra Zwane and Amachu, but this is municipality and other political parties, who took the speaker to the High Court and the judge there ruled that the speaker ought to have actually recused himself when he was the party that was affected. And this we think because it was in the same district where Utrecht is. And these very same councillors are fully aware of that precedent of the High Court. They did not do anything. And we think in this instance, Mayor Khoza, either by omission or commission, made it a point that the matter did not actually serve before council, or council did not take an appropriate decision in dealing with the matter because he was the affected party in the matter. Now, we also believe that the fact that the most senior council employees are named in the report also made the situation worse. The new fund manager is heavily, heavily implicated in the report. And the fact that the CFO and other senior officials are therefore heavily implicated for us clearly proves that there is a full complicity on the part of those affected, not willingly to act on the matter. All of this put together, we then approached the Provincial Executive Council, where we appraised them of the situation, and the Executive Council, after serious deliberations and considerations, we came to a conclusion that we would actually intervene in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution, and that our intervention in this regard would be, in the first instance, that we would not dissolve the municipality. So we took a very conscious decision that we are not dissolving the municipality. So we did not dissolve the municipality. But what did we do? Primarily because the municipality proved beyond any reasonable doubt over a period of 3 months after 90 days that they could not act on the report in any manner, we then actually took the executive obligation to implement the findings of the report, of the investigation report, and therefore took those functions relating to that, but also took over the functions of discipline. And in taking over the functions of discipline, the executive council therefore decided in the following. In the first instance, it said, we are now appointing a special committee or committees to investigate and to make findings of the allegations against the mayor, Councillor Khoza, and any other councillor arising from the special investigation reported to the allegations of the mismanagement, maladministration, fraud, and corruption at Utrecht municipality, and the breaching of the code of conduct for councillors arising therefrom as contemplated in item 14A(d)(1) of the code. The second resolution was that the executive council appointed a special committee or committee to investigate and make findings on the allegations against municipal employees arising from the special investigation report and the breaches of the code of conduct of municipal staff members and all applicable legislation arising from therefrom as contemplated in item 1 of the code of conduct of municipal staff employees read with section 67 subsection 1H of the local government infrastructure system, Act No. 32 of 2000, and the Disneyland Procedure Collective Agreement is applicable. Third, that the NEC for local government is authorized to appoint the relevant special committee or committees for the purposes of conducting the investigations and making the findings contemplated in the above resolution. Fourth, that the Executive Council is directed that the special committee or committees appointed by the NEC make recommendations once they conclude their work to the Executive Council on the appropriate sanctions to be imposed on the councillors and employees who are found to have committed a breach of the applicable code of conduct or committed a similar offence. Five, that the mayor, councillor Kova, and the municipal manager Ubega, and municipal employee B. Zungu, be suspended with immediate effect pending the outcome of the procedure contemplated in the resolutions above. And six, that the NEC be directed to appoint an acting municipal manager to act on behalf of the municipal manager pending the outcome of the procedure contemplated in the resolution. Now, those were the resolutions of our executive committee arising out of the discussion. And therefore, following the action that were taken in accordance with that resolution, as I said earlier, the NSOP was notified of the intervention. The minister was also notified of the intervention. Letters of suspension were also sent to the affected parties, namely the mayor, the municipal manager, Mr. Zungu. A special committee comprising of advocate M. Mkhize, senior counsel, and attorney in Ngubane, was appointed to investigate and make findings on the allegations against those implicated in line with the council resolution. An acting municipal manager was then appointed and provided with a comprehensive terms of reference, and therefore he assumed duty with immediate effect within a few days after the council resolution. The suspension of the mayor and the speaker resulted in the council's decision-making process being compromised. It therefore became necessary for the council to elect an acting speaker or mayor in terms of section 41, read to section 36 of section 3 of the New Infrastructure Act, and which was duly done on the 3rd of September. The minister designated, and then I then at the time, and the minister designated the general manager of local government to conduct such election, which is the course of the letter referred to in 5, and that designation was then actually done properly, and he then actually conducted the election, and which meant that there were meetings that actually took place there. The election of an acting speaker was delayed on 2 occasions by 3 councillors removing themselves from the meeting because they were walked out in the meeting. And arising from the quality of vote, which in the first meeting was about the quality of vote, and a further 3 meetings were required to formally elect an acting speaker. And finally, the speaker was elected on the 7th meeting by a lot in terms of item 8, subsection 3 of the Schedule 3 to the Infrastructure Act, and therefore the copy of the minutes of such an election are attached into your documentation as under the Act. Now, it is important for us to simply say that arising out of all of this work that we are doing, the acting municipal manager has, in accordance with terms of reference, provided a comprehensive report on the practical operations of this policy dated 18th October 2007, and the report details the following. Number one, that there are numerous cases of maladministration relating to human resource matters, including incorrect calculation of leave, incorrect salaries paid, overpayment of salaries, and the possibility of ghost employees that have been identified by the acting MM. Secondly, that there is non-compliance with many of the provisions of the Municipal Finance Management Act. Third, that there are institutional and organizational capacity and capacity constraints which are impacting negatively on municipal administration. And fourth, that the municipality's failure to submit financial statements in terms of Section 126 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, and this has subsequently been rectified by that the provincial management assistance program is in the process of compiling a recovery plan to address the administrative shortcomings of the municipality. And lastly, that the council has 7 councillors, of which 1 is vacant, and which means, therefore, that the council presently comprises of 3 ANC, 2 IP, and 1 EA councillors, and that decision-making is now being compromised by frustration policies, as the 2 minority parties regularly walk out, leaving the council without a quorum at times, and this means that on occasion, decision cannot be taken and service delivery is compromised, because some meetings must be postponed. And we want to simply say that should this situation continue, we would then go back to the Natal Executive Council, then to consider no longer now the section of Section 139.1G, but to consider Section 139.1C intervention. Because at that stage, we would have satisfied ourselves that the Council has become completely dysfunctional. And if it becomes completely dysfunctional, we will have no choice but then to intervene by dissolving the Council. I must add, Chairperson, that this is a measure that has not been taken very lightly. It's a measure that has been well thought, well considered, and carefully considered. May I also add before, because I know that we were not dealing with many other matters, that we are currently reviewing many investigations where municipalities have been given an opportunity to implement the findings of investigations, and where we have not received sufficient support. And we just want to say to you that we believe that we must, at all times, act in the best interest of the ratepayers and the residents of any municipality. And when it comes to a situation where we must act in terms of intervening, we will carefully assess the level of the intervention and the nature of the intervention. In this instance, as we have said, our own assessment, the situation did not warrant an outside intervention in terms of 6-1-9-1-3. Hence, therefore, we actually just took over the executive obligation arising out of the findings of this report, and therefore to implement it and then to allow the council to normally operate. However, if the other parties continuously make the function of council to be dysfunctional, we will then have no choice but to go for the major one. We are not yet there. We are not there yet, and we hope we should not be pushed to be there yet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. Well, we have read the report, but I think one of the most important things that MC would like to know at the provincial level, you know, we have not met with you because of the program of MEC to present the state of municipality in the whole country. And I think of Natal, we were incoming. Now, that raised an issue to me around the functionality and the observance of laws by municipalities in the province. To say at what stage that problem is. If it is there, at what stage it is. You have about 61 municipalities in the province, the highest on the country, all in all.
Because the population is more big,
Now, how many would you think that this problem, similar to this, are present at estimated level? The reason for me to raise the question is that you have a situation in some areas where people disregard the law. You know, they put the law aside, they do what they want. You know, they do it in a way that says that in this country there are no laws. Which then is a big problem because of a consumer state, meaning that we must be able to ensure that the rule of law prevails at all times, whatever we do. Now that's why I'm raising the question then that what would you say in the problem? So that as an institution, if these things are going to come, we're ready. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chair. Chair, one would want to avoid discussing in generality, and one would like at all times to discuss in terms of specificity. In this instance, we want to simply say we are very strict in the, to the adherence of the prescript. And we would want to argue without doing any comparative analysis with our sister provinces that probably we are one province that we are very, very strict with the adherence to laws and prescripts. And primarily because of that, it is easier for us to pick where people actually are not compliant. And I'm saying this primarily because I am not sure of my colleagues in other provinces. How many have they actually been able to utilize Section 106.1b of the System Act? We have done it. We have conducted more than 32 of those investigations. And each instance when those investigations have been investigated, we have written to the NCOP. In some instances, you would begin with the first phase of the investigation, and then if you continue and add certain things in history of that investigation, you would then be able to have a second part of the investigation. So in the 32, it doesn't mean that it's 32 different municipalities. In some instances, we actually had, say, two of those investigations. I want to simply say, primarily because we are not sure to do what is right, I think our municipalities are now highly sensitive because they know that if they don't act in accordance with the law, we cannot be able to fear anyone. And we cannot act without fear or favor, irrespective of who runs the municipality. And for that reason, more and more, we are beginning to see people being very, very concerned about the fact that they know we will act. However, I must say that there are a number of pending areas where in municipalities, in particular with the forensic investigation, where we are still awaiting to finalize the report. In most of those municipalities, explanations were provided. But those explanations were less than satisfactory to us. And therefore, we wanted them to be able to deal with those matters. And for that reason, because they did not ignore the investigation, we then have allowed them time to be able to deal with the matter. However, we have now come to a decision to simply say, we're now doing the final audit. If any of them have not acted after being given a due process, we will then exercise the same authority to intervene in taking that executive obligation to implement the best satisfaction and therefore ensure that a municipality does not go back. In that instance, a message is now clear to all of them, and I think without preempting what is likely to come out in the final audit, which by the time when you engage with us, we would have that final audit, we would then be in a position to tell you how many of our municipalities, if I were to use the term, delinquent in terms of complying with the law. We would then be able to simply say to you, these are, and then we'll be able to tell you specific names of those that would actually be able to consider specific inquiries in the future. Otherwise, the jury still are chambered.
Thank you very much. I think we'll await for that, and we'll continue with the program of looking at the state of municipalities across the country, because that gives you a global picture in understanding the challenges that are there, and also position ourselves to be able to respond accordingly to that position. Let me allow my colleague to raise any questions of clarity. And we want to welcome Mom Zalosa here, saying that we are happy that it's your neighbor, it's a new college. Makeloa. Makeloa, a new cousin. I last saw you in the funeral, because yeah, I was there in the funeral when your father was presiding there.
What happened?
we talk about that when we are enjoying tea. I want to allow Bob to say, be followed by Bob to Lord of the Fruit Day. We follow the Bob in that order.
Thank you, Charles, and let me also take this opportunity just to thank the MEC for briefing us about the state of affairs in this municipal situation. And also say, from what the MEC has just said, it is quite clear that the provincial government has resolved to deal with the political delinquents in Ukraine. Political delinquents. If any of those political factions want to display those delinquents, political delinquents. Having said that, Chairperson, it is quite clear that this intervention has resulted in a number of discrepancies. And of course, as you said at the beginning, Chairperson, we will find time to go and to inform you more about what is going on. That will help a lot in addition to the information that we get from the community. One question that one the MEC just to respond to, having done what we have done, Chairperson, is on the actions that are being taken, if there is any, on the file of criminals. Because some of these cases, in my view, border conduct, therefore, it is not only the political or administrative actions that should be taken to deal with the situation. We may also want to take into the for the police to investigate some of these things, if indeed there's anything that is happening. That's one question. The second one, Chairperson, is the behavior displayed by the council of not to act within the time frame discussed or recommended to them by the provincial government to act having discovered this. But in addition to that, the other behavior that is continuously displayed by other councillors who keep on working hard. In your view, MEC, what could be informing these kind of behavior? Because in our own thinking, an impression is created, or what we all know is that an impression is created by political parties that we are all one in saying that we don't accept corruption. Anybody who commits corruption. We all ensure that individual or collective is done accordingly. Now, when these of these natures have been discovered by the provincial government and politicians serving at that level keeps on doing this kind of thing, what is not quite clear, what could be informing this kind of behavior? Are they protecting against the findings or what is the case? I mean, those are the two questions that I want to get to the chair. Thank you very much.
In that order, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to find out from the MEC about Mabuya Kulu. Which is the portfolio committee, provincial portfolio committee, have they done anything to assist or to verify or to do an oversight or to monitor the business committee? Then number two, I'm a bit concerned about the behavior of the councillors. I remember the tuberculosis issue. When we went there, we read all the allegations and the charges and all that. But
they were not denying the allegations and all that, but they were politically defensive to say no, because the NDC and the ANC, so that's why we are getting this this municipality, but without putting any evidence, but just to make sure, because we went there. Concrete evidence, some allegations, and it was a rigmarole. We spent the whole day just doing fighting, and then I wonder whether this is not the case, because I suspect we are going for the same thing. Lastly, Chairperson, is to check the political principles of this government. What are they saying? Are they helping the MC to resolve the problem, or they just leave it like that so that we go to the like Kabakulu say, that's it.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking at you, Mr. Lulu.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you very much to the MEP for the way in which you presented the case here. It's a very excellent and very easy policy. Just the one thing that I don't quite understand, I might just admit it. The problem is really that we only have 6 councillors now. Why is the vacant post not filled? And will that not solve our problem? Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you. Chairperson, I think you're coming in the same way. Am I audible? I don't seem to be hearing myself.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you. Chairperson, I'm also coming in the same way. We've been taking the fee for the presentation you made this morning. I think it is the tension. This matter has been quite successful in the media, and it has actually, you know, as you were picking up things that were coming up and really actually trying to tackle the same issue. But my first question, let me probably go back in your question earlier on. I thought that the MEC was actually before you. If I read it well, it is actually relayed in the case of X. That how many of these municipalities in the case of N that are likely to be delinquent, so that we will know exactly where we stand. The reason behind this, what this is saying, is that is exactly, it is also containing these municipalities of Emadami, in that when the act was actually implemented, of now having the acting people. It is alleged that a certain municipality manager was taken from somewhere else with the suspension from that place and was placed there. We don't know this. So those are the parameters that probably would have liked. Furthermore, there is the same thing that says the MEC is only targeting certain municipalities ruled by certain parties, not his party, if I may put it that way. We don't know all that. We will be going there, we probably will find more about it. But now, as I say, the presentation is the own many other things, one will be able to take this matter forward. Now, one problem that I have, when these, I don't know whether these reports which were coming were motions or whether it was just reports of wild allegations, because I think the minister was only act on something that is a motion put before the council or anywhere else, that is a motion
of no confidence, and most of that nature, whether it was that. Now, once he is there on page number,
yes.
But I think it's only what's only granting the municipality the authority now to that. It is apparent that the matter was taken to court because of the impediments and interference that were there, which would enable the MCC to conduct its investigation. Now the matter was taken to court. Alternatively, there's a matter now before court which seeks to actually have a conjoining to appeal. I don't know whether against the entire thing or the suspension of the election of the mayor. We don't know how the court will pronounce itself. Now, I just find it difficult if we go there, and we will also endorse the same effect the MEC was right in doing ADCD. Whether what the court pronounces, it might be against that. It would then be a fruitful exercise. That is the problem, that's the dilemma I have. Because if the appeal against the suspension of the council, then we need to hear more about it. And it is suffice to say that there are other cases which are fraud. That's a criminal matter. Why those cases are not actually being not seeing that? Because fraud is a fraud. Whether it can wait till next month or next year, it will remain a problem. But when you delay justice, you deny justice. Because there will be no evidence at the later stage. I don't know what is the reason why we are not probably seeing light on those cases. I'm referring to that, not to confuse you, 3, 5, 6, where these were referred to. And many other programs. The other one is on 3.6.2, where the deadline has expired. Which year are we talking about? Is it 2007 or 2006? Because the Simpson thing turned way back in 2006. If we probably could be given light on that. The other question arises on suspension. Quite a lot of people have been suspended. Now, one would like to know whether the suspension is with or without pay, so that we know where we stand. When we go there, we will be probably asking those questions. And it's suffice to say that the good employees, that the formal is. How many of these ghost employees do we have find that they were being paid? What amount are they being paid? And how are we going to recover those monies? Well, we shall go to the claims and then we'll go to the money. It's also very The last question is the last page. It seems that there's a lot of going forward and backwards in some of that. Now, the MEC has actually said, should this situation continue, the Kwazulu Natal Executive Council may have to consider a section 139, sub 1 to sub C, the intervention now. When would be the deadline? Do we calculate the deadline way back to 2006 or 2007? Starting from August, as I think. Now, if that can be clarified, then probably one would probably see how easily can we go there and find that. There is cause if one finds it, let me put it that way at the moment. We haven't had the answer. It is only that we can consider and find a factual a way forward if you now hear the story from both. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Well, I think there are no other further questions. In the absence of other further questions, I would then request the MEC to respond.
so that we're able to see how we take the protocol. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, Chair, let me then say this. In response to the question raised by the Honourable C, I must say that with regard to criminal action, the report clearly indicated areas where we should be intervening to take people for criminal prosecution. And indeed, we are precisely pursuing those as a department. The reason why we're to take over the executive obligation of implementing the report was to implement that because we actually clearly have the view that that would not be done. So in instances where criminal proceedings or criminal position for prosecution should actually delay against any individual, that is being pursued as we speak. So we will leave no stone unturned in our quest to ensure that what is right is actually, what is wrong now is made right. We right the wrong. So we will actually do so by implementing the report. As for the behavior of counselors, I just want to simply say that it's a pity that in some instances, when political parties stand in public platforms and say they are going to the extreme, anything that is untoward, that manifests itself either in the realm of malpractices, maladministration, corruption, or whatever type, it becomes completely another when action is now being pursued. The tendency of defending our own, even when they are actually wrong, takes precedence over the bold statements that our leaders and political parties make at different times. This is no exception. We have seen in this municipality a march that was organized under the name that the MEC acted with malice and acted with only one intent, to be able to ensure that he was involved in social engineering in changing the political fortunes of other political parties. That is unfortunate, primarily because there are many municipalities, and I think I want to use this chairperson as an example when I'm dealing with this matter. There are many municipalities that were sitting with very huge problems with them, where we set out those municipalities. We disallowed certain expenditures and we set out them. And for your information, I'm just going to mention them, not for any purpose, of course, we're not discussing about them today, but just to show cause that if people are active, and therefore even if they don't give us a fair answer, they are saying we're doing an audit, we don't just jump and deal with those people because we look at who runs municipality. For me, when I took an oath of becoming an MEC, I actually took an oath that I will uphold the constitution and the rules of the land, and shall I shall act in my line of duty without fear or favor. And to serve is what I'm actually here to do. And I'm using this municipality just to illustrate to you that we're not acting with money. In Longoma, for instance, municipalities gave themselves huge salaries without any due process of approval. And they actually spent about 1 million rand. And they did this before the 2006 election. They are one of the municipalities they were conducting an audit where that money has been paid. They were supposed to pay that money by the 20th of February, 2006. In England, we disallowed for a very huge expenditure in the region of 250,000. I don't have the figures here. I'm jumping in my kingdom from out of time. In Escort, we disallowed an expenditure that was involving the inside manager, involving the mayor there, In Rabban Vane, what does it say? In Kokstad, which is the same, which is allowed a very huge expenditure of 4.1 million. And therefore, all of these disallowances will then allow the council to be able to deal with this matter and be able to ensure that this is actually being actually put right. But the responses were received. But those responses were less than satisfactory. It is in those instances where we did not jump and simply say, look at two runs with this and therefore be able to simply intervene taking that one deadline. No, we didn't do that. We then asserted them, go back and actually correct. Because what we are doing, what we are reporting is unsatisfactory. In Otugala, for instance, a huge thing that was happening in terms of investment to the council. Now, I can't mention all of these municipalities, because I'm not thinking anybody who runs the municipality. And I'm saying we have to act on the basis of the report and the facts before us. We're not jumping and simply saying what is already new, what is already new, what is already new. So I'm therefore saying there could be absolutely no basis for anyone to argue that we're acting through political interest. It's one of the 12 parties of 7 councillors. It is in the one of the lowest. It has got no income. It is 100% dependent on grants. The question, what would have been the strategic value for anyone to do that? To identify one of the 500 million? None. Now, I would say therefore to Honorable Nduli, that as a provincial committee, the provincial portfolio committee in the province is working with us in Monsa Municipality. But in this instance, I can't speak because I know that it has got an international trip. So the chairperson and the committee only have just recently returned and he has been busy with their grant. I don't know, and I don't think the mayor had a chance of actually looking specifically on the municipality. But I can't speak on their behalf. They might, in one meeting where I might not be, but I'm not aware of. I want to simply say the conduct of municipalities, of the councillors there, Honorable Dole, is informed by the public pronouncements of their political leaders. They all think that if all of this is a smoke screen to try and actually take away any municipality from a particular political party. But what is the truth in the Madlani? In the election, the two major parties, the ANC and the IP, got three councillors. Now, it's not an issue that you would be sitting anywhere and you would also want to think of that. So for me, the issue is really, in the nutshell, if the party had done what we expected them to do, we would not be where we are. The mere fact that we have not dissolved the municipality completely, that we have intervened to take an executive occupation, means we have no intention. Even the mayor, what we have done with the mayor, we have to suspend the mayor pending the business hearing, because the initial suspension was meant to be a constant suspension. Now we have got the findings of the forensic investigator. We must then be able to suspend that mayor for the mayor to appear before a business committee. The alteram patem rule must apply. The rules of national justice must apply. We can't claim that the mayor is now guilty because of those findings. There is now people who actually listen to the mayor, he will have full representation, so similar to other officials. So we have approached the matter completely within the norms, the rules and the norms of national justice. So I'm only saying, the unfortunate thing is that both the political parties which are referred to under the last page, they have not helped the situation because their public pronouncements have seen the red flag of policies in everything. And they have not been able to see the issues before them, even if they have reports before them. That's unfortunate. Honorable Ralu, let me simply say that the reason why we can't see any vacant now is because the mayor is currently under suspension. He's a ward councillor. He is not he is not as yet guilty until he faces the disciplinary hearing with the committee led by advocate Nkize as well as attorney Ngubane, would be hearing, because they're independent, they would then be hearing all of these disciplinary hearings, and they would actually be making decisions on the basis of the facts before them. So we can't as yet be able to send to court for a violation, because we have not as yet been able to simply say the mayor must be removed. We have to answer the following in accordance with the code of conduct for councillors. Honourable Mzizi, let me go back to the question raised. I am very cautious that I shouldn't come here and speak of generality about other municipalities, because there is a due process of audit, whether they have complied with the things that are once you have finalized those group audits, it will be part of when you come to the province, just for the performance of the municipality, we'll give it to you. Because those investigations, when we do them, we report to the NCOC. So I think for now, I want to avoid doing this thing which is called the equal apportionment of guilt. If there is one person that is guilty on this side, I must also look for another one on the other side. So that I'm actually, there's an equal apportionment of guilt. So you can't just be guilty on your own. And I can't, as an MEC, be able to do that. Primarily because even when you go to the man, the Almighty, we would face all of us our judgment day if we do. I don't think that if I am guilty, it should be said Lionel Finan must also be found to be guilty too. So that there is an equal apportionment of guilt. We don't work on the basis of that. And therefore, I think each municipality must be judged on the basis of its own inefficiency or deficiency. And when the time is right, we shall pronounce on each one of them once the audit has been finalized. But nothing shall be pulled shall be put under the carpet. We'll pull the carpet and pull out everything and put it back. As for the new fund manager, then he was taken from somewhere else where there were also problems with him. No, let's be very clear. The new fund manager, who is active, because Mr. Ubega, who is the new fund manager there, is not fired. He is suspended pending the outcome of the disciplinary hearing, which are currently undergo because the special committee of advocate Nkize and Ngubane will be hearing those disciplinary hearings. Then they will be making pronouncements. There is no way we would have actually prejudged them before that. So he was never fired. There were issues of allegations against him. But finally there was a settlement between him and the council. And you can't, when someone alleges, and therefore you become guilty. It will be an almost disgrace service to every person in this council if the day anyone would say the Honourable Mzizi had allegations of inappropriate conduct, and all of us would actually jump and say, but how does Honourable Mzizi become a member of the United Council of Provinces? Because there were allegations of inappropriate conduct on his part at some point, with absolutely nothing that was ever proven against him. It can be. So I can't act on that way. Because allegations remain mere allegations until they've been tested and until someone has been found guilty. In this instance, it did not even face, there were disciplinary proceedings against him, but they did not actually find him guilty of anything. To the contrary, there was an agreement between him and the council. But even that matter, I have the details of it, because I'm responsible for local government. But indeed, it was completely inspired by other things which councillors from time to time they would do against managers. In this instance, there isn't anything tangible. In fact, to the contrary, he was railing councillors who were actually resisting to pay their loans. And for them to be able to resist or for those loans to be paid back, and he became persona non grata. So I'm not going to get involved into those details. As for the MEC targeting municipalities done by other political parties, not his party, I think I'll point out that because of reason, I think I would add some delay but on the matter, Chairperson. I think I should spare you time. The points and the facts are very clear. I have spoken on the basis of the facts before me. The matter is before court, as you say, Honorable Reason, and you say it is appeal against the suspension. Let me be very specific and clarify this point quite very clearly, Chairperson. What is before court is that when we instituted this investigation in September last year, the councillors themselves were received information that the councillors were indeed actually interfering with the investigation or attempting to interfere with the investigation. We then wrote to the council to request the councillors to recuse themselves, in other words, to do what is called either a recusal or a cautionary suspension. So they would do it on their own, not by me. They refused, clearly refused. I then actually acted in terms of the code of conduct, which read together with 13106B, because my starting point, Chairperson, was the law accorded me the right to be able to initiate an investigation in terms of 13106B of system that. And inherent in that right is also the right to ensure that there is no obfuscation or obstruction of an investigation. So whoever so hinders or attempts to hinder an investigation, I have a right to be able to ensure that I exercise authority to be able to allow that that person doesn't do so. So when it came to my attention that they were actually intend to do that, I firstly did what is right to say to them, recuse yourself in the property. At that stage, I was not suspending them because there was a disciplinary inquiry they had to face. It was a cautionary suspension, so they don't interfere with the investigation. They refused. Having refused, I then acted on the basis of the code. After acting, I did not only suspend them and then waited. I then went to court to obtain a declaratory order for the High Court to declare my actions of suspending them to be lawful. Because it was one great error and therefore we're taking precedent. And the court therefore concurred with me and declared my actions to be lawful, that I was acting correctly in suspending them on a cautionary basis, so they don't interfere. So what is before court is not a suspension of the councillors, 10 disciplinary years, was leave to appeal on a cautionary suspension. So we should separate those. Now, subsequent to that process, when they noted the appeal, the investigation then continued, and in May it was finalized. We now received the final version of the final version. I'm now have suspended them now, pending the decision because there are now charges that have been put before them. In the first instance, there are no charges. That's why it was a cautionary suspension. Now they are facing charges. They have to answer to those charges. That is not before court. And I will not be very, very clear. It's before the special committee of advocates, Kizer and attending Gulag, where they must go and answer those charges. So there is no confusion on the reason, because they are leave to appeal. They were actually challenging my decision to suspend them on a cautionary basis once the investigation was continuing. So I think that one is clear. As for the criminal cases, I've just indicated very clearly that we are pursuing the report in its entirety, including criminal proceedings. Prosecutions against anyone who is criminally or might be criminally lying in terms of the report. As for section 362, the deadline, which year was that? Let me be very specific. We say that we gave the council 21 days, which is the norm. We give all councillors 21 days once they have actually completed the report to respond and to tell us what action they are taking. When they fail to do so, in this instance, That was not last year. It is from the 13th, after the 14th of May, when we received the report. We then gave them that report. Okay. That report then simply says, from that day we were given the report, we had 21 days to reply. They did not. They did not reply within 20 days. They did not reply within 60 days. They did not reply within 90 days. So, all what I'm saying in 3.62 is that our action was not just an arbitrary action. We first gave the council to be able to tell us that these are the recommendations, the same recommendations. They gave them the full report. And they did not act on the basis of the full report. That's all I wanted to say. So this year, it can't be last year. From May, when they were giving the report, and until when we acted. In August. As for the suspension, well, the suspension can't be without pay because we have actually suspended them with pay. The reason is that we have said, and we can do in the council, but in respect of what we have been actually dealing with as a matter, we feel that we should suspend them with pay. So that in this instance, because the norm and the law general simply says only in extreme circumstances where you would act in that instance. It doesn't mean that we couldn't have done so, but in this instance we suspended them with pay. And therefore our committee is actually busy doing this thing because we want this matter to be resolved. As for the ghost employees, I must say this report now is a new report that the acting MM is dealing with. So he has just acted this thing, and therefore there is what we call a provincial management assistance program, where therefore we are intervening in ensuring that all the weak areas in the municipality, assisting the municipality to rectify some of the problems. We are therefore putting resources and therefore working with the MM to ensure that we address all of these that have been identified to the problem. So there is a mechanism through the MAP program, which is the Medical Assistance Program, to deal with those matters. The deadline. Is there any deadline for intervening in terms of Section 139.1c? Let me simply just say again, Chairperson, for the honorable reason for everyone here. What we are actually saying, what we are saying here is a caution. We are saying to you, Chairperson, and to this committee, that if those councillors there, those who are actually making the municipality not to work properly by moving in and out and making decisions to be delayed, continue with their attendance, they will leave here with no option. Because then we must come to a situation where we say, this municipality is completely dysfunctional. Then we would go for Section 139.1c. So when we have not deadline, we have not said it, I'm only saying, honorable reason, if you can also help to ensure that those councillors get the message, that indeed they put themselves in great danger if they don't go and cooperate, if they don't participate in full council meetings, because for now it's only one person who's asked, is a man. But they are likely to lose almost everything, all of those councillors. Because once it's dissolved, the law is very clear. I will have to convene an election within 90 days. I'm not there yet, and I don't want to go there, because I don't believe that the situation in that municipality now requires an outside dissolution of the municipality. And the people who lose it are not officials. They are counselors when there's an outside dissolution. And I think Honorable Grizzly and others here, they would do me a very great service if they would relate a message to those councillors and tell them that you are playing with fire. Finally, Chairperson, I do accept that the report, as it is being said, is one-sided. No, Chairperson, the report is as it was presented by the independent investigators. So it cannot be one-sided or two-sided or three-sided or quadruple-sided. It is the only report you can get. All what we can do, we may attempt in different ways to answer to the findings, but none of us can alter those findings. They are not mine. I didn't write them. They don't belong to the counselors. They didn't write them. Whether there is anything I like or dislike in these findings, they are just the findings. So we can only talk about saying one of them is the principle of the Audi Asharam Patem rule shall apply that for the other five must be heard. What their views are to the findings. They may not like the findings, but they can't alter them. We may not like the day, but when the time for the sun to rise is rising. We may not like the night, but when the time for the nightfall to come, it comes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, MC. Well, I think the report is here. But MC, let's check certain issues here. The first one, what time frame do you have to take this application? For how long I will take it? So, first. The second thing is, what are the terms of reference of the committee in taking the executive obligation? I mean, I see that the SC Municipal Manager has got human resources, which in terms of the executive committee, that's when it took this decision, you are looking more on dealing with the class procedures and so on. But now, I'm saying, the executive obligations have many areas. One of the ways you are raising an issue here is that financial reports were not submitted, meaning that the component of finance is not in order. Besides the issue of human resources and so on, the general administration of the level, where misdemeanors were conducted, in as far as appointments, in as far as recruitment and so on, that policy was not followed. Now, the areas that you are focusing upon, where you are taking responsibility, what are those areas? The other minor point is that they are, I'm not sure if there are two Miss or Miss Shana. Because if you look at the minutes or the first page around the counselor, you have Mr. Manas there. And also, if you go to the document that deals with your explanation around the intervention, it has a name of Mr. Stamak there, but this one, that one is N.T. Stamak. This one is it's another Mr. Stamak, Art Stamak. It's on page, not numbered, 3.5.6, where it says that a criminal case of fraud and death should be registered against Mr. Stamak. Now, are these Mr. Stamak different? Well, I mean, it's quite a minor point. Over to you,
Mr. But let me start with the last one. The channels are father and son. The one art standard is the sun, and the standard that you see there that was actually Kumpensi's standard is the father, who is the counselor. He is also the speaker of the Amashima Testament. So, this standard can only be Chester to refuse himself when the matter of art standard is being discussed in council. But you can't just say because the son is guilty, then the father also too is guilty. So there are two different people. Related though, father and son. Biological father and son, not just standards in any relation. Okay. Let me then go back to the issue raised. How long the authority power would be taken? We are very clear, Chester. We want to take the executive obligations of implementing the report. We are working on the basis that one, the major things in the report is to be able to actually ensure that we fully implement the recommendations of the findings. And there are two different levels, if you may accept that. The first one is the level of pursuing proceedings of disciplinary actions against the individual, hence the special committee has been appointed and is currently working. And I must say that the committee, despite its own interest to try and finalize the matter by the end of October to the mid of November, unforeseen things have happened because lawyers representing the others have actually been able to request postponements and that and that. That is the only thing that is now delaying the process. But by and large, I am hoping that it will not, those proceedings will not go far beyond the end of January the latest. They should be completed by the end of January. Two, with regard to the terms of reference are very clear. For the special committee, they are dealing with the disciplinary hearing. For the other normal council business, we are appointed an acting municipal manager so that the other normal council activity would continue in a normal way. In other words, the issue that we are actually raising successfully, the non-compliance with financial management, the non-compliance with human resources issues, the action that might have to be taken on others which were not part of this report, we would accept that the SMM, together with the existing council, they act because they are functioning as a normal council. We have taken the executive obligation solely on matters pertinent and the matters that have been raised in the report. So any other matter, we expect them to deal with them in a normal way because we are not usurping their powers, all of them. We have taken the executive obligation solely in respect of the issues arising out of the report. So that one is a normal thing. So what we are doing there, that is why I said the department then is actually intervening at a different level there. We know that intervention is support. The support is through the management assistance program, which we are now putting in place there, which is supporting the municipal manager and others to deal with all the other areas of inefficiency in the municipality. So that one we're having a support mechanism to deal with that through a management assistance program as a department. As for the areas which are taking responsibility, I think I've clarified carefully. We are taking responsibility around criminal proceedings that must be pursued as arising out of the report, the criminal action that must be taken arising out of the report, finalizing the issues of the report, ensuring that the issues and the witnesses that forensic investigators highlighted, we put in systems in place in with regard to ensuring that those are don't appear or don't occur in the future. Whether the municipal management prepare is returned by the situation or not, we would actually still want to ensure that they comply with what actually ought to be complied with. So on that basis, therefore, Chairperson, our intervention, as I say, is what I call a limited scope intervention. It's not a full scale. That's why I'm actually urging the Honorable Mzizi and others that they shouldn't actually full size push us to go to a full scale. For now, it's limited. Very, very limited. Because it is limited, I'm hoping to get full cooperation from all parties, not for us to go to a full scale. In other words, when we are a general ward, we think it is easier for us to avoid people that have been going into the ICU. Because once you're in the ICU, you can either go into the mortuary or you can go to the general ward and exit the hospital. And for now, I think we might be pushed to go to an ICU. And someone sometimes doesn't go to the ICU, gets straight into a mortuary. And I'm hoping it won't be the case, Captain.
Thank you very much, MC. Are there any other further inquiries that people want to raise on this? Because this is an opportunity where we're able to get this thing from the source. No, not from the third person. Therefore, it's just a great deal that's clarify our mind.
because from here we'll be going down to further enrich ourselves in terms of assessment issues. But this is a cross on the bridge that will be able to assist us to move forward. Now, are there any other issues that you want to raise in relation to this report? And of course, I mean, I want to agree with the view that this intervention is very limited. I mean, I think in my history of intervention, I've never seen of this one, where you deal with significant areas where things are raised that are important to deal with that and so on. Bamundo.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm asking myself whether, as we have said, we'll be going down. I was asking myself whether there's any need of going down there, because if you hear that some of the allegations are being dealt with in a court of law, and then there are still investigations going around, then what will be the intention of visiting there? Are we also going to investigate, or we wait for the investigation to be through, then we, because if you look at it, it's just a minimal intervention. So I would agree if it was a full-scale intervention where we'll be looking whether the MEC is justified or the Barcelona Calibrating is justified to intervene. But at the moment, if you hear the the intervention is in investigatory and assisting the municipality to come up. Now, what will be our intention of supporting them?
For me, I don't think there's a problem going there. My only dilemma is that the R people have been suspended in the case of pending against them. That means most of them. We would like to speak to the mayor in the presence of many other people. Can it not be now encroaching on an area where it's been investigated and we call that person to testify before us in the public as it does, and we see the man, we would not know what is happening. In the case where there's this pending, is that mayor going to be further to ask of other people that we will also be sort of investigating with? Is it under the
first and foremost, I think the responsibility of the NCOP when there's an intervention in terms of Section 1B is to enrich its mind as an institution. We don't rely on the view presented by the executive only. It's not enough. Our task is to ensure that as you talk about the issues around the natural gas, that you hear from all parties. You hear from all sides. That's the responsibility of Parliament. Parliament is the responsibility to inform itself about issues that are presented to it and verify them. That's the duty of Parliament. And on the basis of that, it takes it. Without it listening to the executive only, because we do oversight over the executive. Now, it means, therefore, if we are obliged to go and meet with people where the action is okay. Of course, in that process, we don't engage ourselves on matters that are subject to care. When there's a due process of law that is taking place, we don't enter into that. Meaning that we cannot call the mayor a suspended and say, no, come and tell us the side of the story. That matter is handled by the executive. Okay, now if you look at the circumstances and see which is in the habit and be able to inform our mind. But when we take a decision, we take a decision to inform. Therefore, it means we are obliged to go down. It's not a choice. It's a matter of mass that just was done in the process. Are there any views that you want
to?
from this.
What will be the intention? I know that you will want to hear what they say. But if you look at the report that they are investigating, and most of the things here, they are already being investigated. If you look even at the type of the intervention, it's for the purposes of the investigation to get the truth. But at the meantime, to let the municipality operate instead of coming to the same thing. Now if you are going there, are we going there to check whether it is correct to suspend the municipal mayor, whether it is correct to investigate? That's what I'm moving from. Are we going to check whether to investigate is correct?
So this, I'm sure maybe we don't understand each other. Between me and you. What I'm saying is that even for the bit of parliament is total oversight. That's the premise that we must move from. Meaning that when the executive presents a view to you, your responsibility is to verify that information and you have to make up your mind. You can't rely on what is presented by the executive only. That's why we have researchers with capacities to verify information. That's why we do the oversight to go and check what has been said. If the executive says, no, we've delivered 5 houses, we go and check whether indeed is those 5 houses there. Are they of quality? Is it available for money? And all those things. I'm making an example about it. Therefore, I'm saying, our task from this is that we have heard this view from the MEC, which we highly appreciate. We are saying it's a source of information. It's a base that we're going to use in terms of our work that we do. However, that is not sufficient for the community to make up its mind. We must be able to engage ourselves in other processes beyond this engagement today. And amongst other processes we engage upon is to go down there and meet with various stakeholders that we've been with. That's how it will happen. Therefore, I'm saying that respect, that's what is going to happen. And that's what we have to do as an institution. Chief.
I think to clarify well, and as I see, they have given intervention. Certain responsibilities of the municipality have been taken over by the NEC. And we as an NCOP, we have to go and see if that is the right thing. We will have to approve or disapprove if that intervention is right. That is where we have a role to play. Just as in also, we have to approve or disapprove the intervention. So we have to go down to see if the intervention that was instituted by the MEC is right. Do we approve it or don't we approve it? I think that is it. Because the responsibility of the council and municipality has been removed. Is was it the right thing or wasn't it the right thing? I think that is our duty, our job. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We are sorry, Mr. that we are doing. This is more of a side. It's an internal matter.
No, I'm part of you, but
we're not there.
I'm watching the game.
Yeah, you're important. You want to be interested. This is a good thing.
So I'm part of you.
How the computer? Well, Mamla.
What outcomes are we expecting? What is the result? Is it just oversight or do we want to accomplish something? I find it just a bit premature to make a decision. That's my only comment.
Thank you very much, madam. Now, I think it's an important thing that the outcome that is expected of part of the committee is to say yes or no to the intervention. That's an outcome. For you to be able to reach that stage, you must specify yourself. meaning that we must be able to clarify your mind. Clarifying our mind is part of making different people that we commit to be able to inform ourselves where we think this is correct or not. So as when we take a decision to say yes or no, it is based on information and facts that we see that are presented to us. And that's what it is about. And it's more also on a situation where in South Africa you talk about natural justice. That you are going to hear all sides in order for the society to make up the mind. That's what it is. And in fact, I want to rule that we're going down. And I'm making a ruling that I'm very sure about. She said, no, procedure is what we do. This one not only the exception. It's for how the committee works. Then it has worked that way. MEC, thank you very much for your grace in this occasion. I'm telling you that Jesus informed us. You know, these things I refuse as a person to hear them from the media. Because I know that was the structure and the variety within which we are able to get facts and information on this issue. Well, sometimes in the media, it depends on the angle that is taken by the person's life or the source. What angle do they want to take and follow? Therefore, in our side as an institution, that's why we said, no, let's hear from the first as a form. So that whatever we do is based on the information presented by you. And therefore, we're very excited about what you have presented. I think you have informed us, all of us. And I think of Mali, because of Mali, when he comes here, he's an influence. As you said to him that he is an adult. Don't move the law. You have to send the message, you want to go. My mom's a lot of others. We can send a message. A message that says this is the bitter pill to swallow, but it's not too bitter. If you want more, continue with non-cooperative. Therefore, it needs to dissolve, which is a big thing, a devolution, because you might lose it with what you have in terms of numbers of people that were on, I think, in that respect. And therefore, it's something of interest that people must convey that message. But which is, all of us, I think, we agree that we are against corruption. We are against maladministration. At the same time, we promote the rule of law in the constitutional state. That whole thing, I think, that the cornerstone that we agree, all of us, nobody, I think, disagrees with that. Therefore, it's something that must convey to all our constituencies and structures. MEC, the other thing that I think will be continuing with the state of the provinces, the report, because what we do, we need to start by the province, portfolio committee in the province, and the department. Those three key stakeholders. When we hear the state of the municipalities in the province, and we look at different things, financial side, administration, and so on, the delegation of powers, all those things, where you find that there are conflicts between mayors, speakers, and also the administration, municipal managers, and all of those key areas. We look at all those things, which I think when the time comes, we'll outline areas where that will be hit with that must be covered. Therefore, we'll be able to get that. The other aspect that will be hit you off is to hear progress reports at Friday. What has happened there? Because I will tell you after we left, I will need to be phoned by illegals there. They will say, no, these people, they haven't employed the way they want, and so on. And you know, they want to get it. But, as to say how true is that, I don't know. I mean, those are allegations. They remain allegations, but I'm in progress otherwise. The last point, colleague, when we came in here, I spoke to the MEC, he was saying, no, he has not had us showing any interest in this big event of the Amakosi Traditional Leader Conference.
Yeah,
Global Conference of Traditional Leadership. That is taking place on Thursday and Friday. And I said, no, we don't have an invitation. And then he phoned while we were sitting here, the office, to say they must have an invitation. Therefore, I'm saying then we would be happy if people can create that occasion. I mean, it's a unique, it's a first of its kind in South Africa. Where was the global conference on cultural leadership? Get different speakers and so on. I would encourage colleagues to go and, if possible, arrange that. That is a great model, if possible. Of course, then I think we'll engage in the process of getting the invitation and the process of that administration is going to take. Now, I'm saying that is something that would be interesting to see. Of course, there are a lot of things that are happening, but these things, they happen, they don't happen all the time. Other things, they happen all the time, like breathing oxygen. Mm-hmm. We do that all the time. But other things don't happen all the time. Anything? I'll come to you.
Chairperson, we thank you and we thank the committee. We came here really to clarify and just be able to put matters into perspective. We've done it in the past, so shall we do it in the future, because the National Council of Provinces do its job primarily because it is for the constitutional leadership, for it to be able to do this job and probably to also exercise oversight over provincial relatives in a different form, particularly matters where we have to intervene in another sphere of government. And therefore, we want to say, Chairperson, we are very grateful to the internship. And indeed, I must say here, they say great minds think alike. And I think we do think alike in one thing, that all of us must find a system in society to be able to be these types of institutions that we want them to be, that our country and our people could actually be proud that they have institutions of governance that are well equipped, efficient, but more above that, institutions that they can have vested trust in them. And for that reason, we thank you, Chairperson, and we're very grateful for this opportunity. And we would want to continue to operate, cooperate and work with you. When the time is right and the feeling has decreased about you visiting our children, we will also do our best to try and meet your expectations. As we say, we have the highest number of municipalities in the world. So whatever challenges we might have, we think that by and large, we're building very efficient municipalities for the future.
Thank you very much, Emerson. Well, I've already spoken to you. What I'll say is that more of people think that we'll have seen a larger than what happens to us. People can go and come back up after 12 years because the dining hall is a food. But it's not the norm for the night to eat good food, but because of those challenges. Thank you very much. The meeting is official again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This one.